Genesis chapter 20 and verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, 'She is my sister'? And she, even she herself, said, 'He is my brother.' In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." And God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abram and said unto him, "What hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?" And Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, 'This is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall come. Say of me, he is my brother.'" And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, "Behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee." And unto Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other." Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. Does anybody know what déjà vu is? Déjà vu. Well, it means already seen. And it's a feeling that we sometimes get that we've seen this before. We've been here before. Well, maybe you felt a little bit of déjà vu when we read this passage together. Isn't this very similar to what happened in Egypt when Abraham and Sarah went down to where Pharaoh was? Isn't this very similar to the situation that arose there when Pharaoh tried to take Sarah to be his wife, thinking that she was sister to Abraham? And here we find exactly the same situation arising with another man, a man called Abimelech. Abimelech was probably the king of what became the land of the Philistines. And Here we have Egypt and at least the predecessors of the Philistines, and Abraham repeating his mistakes amongst them both. What was Abraham thinking? What was this man doing? And why did he keep making the same mistakes? Let me say in passing, as we think about this man Abimelech, that there is little in Abimelech's conduct here that is wrong, as indeed was the case with Pharaoh. Now, I'm not saying that he was without reproach, because we could perhaps make a case that there was a degree of lustfulness in the eye of both men. But in the main, the deviousness seems to have been on the part of Abraham and Sarah. So I've got just three things that I want to mention to you with respect to this narrative, because really the story is very self-explanatory. But here's the first thing that I want us to remember. A half-truth that is told in order to deceive is a lie, and it is always more honourable to tell the truth. Let us remember that. Here was a man, Abimelech, who didn't worship the one true God, and yet had occasion to wonder at Abraham, a prophet of God, for his deceitfulness in the way in which he tricked Abimelech and almost caused him to be slain at the hand of God. The second thing I want to draw your attention to is that God's people remain sinners despite the saving grace of God towards us. Let Abraham's weakness be our warning. Let his folly be our wisdom. We rightly remember Abraham as a man of faith, and yet he failed to trust the Lord, to trust the Lord's protection, despite God's promise to be his shield. God had said, "I will be your shield." And Abraham thought that he had to make up a story in order to be protected from Abimelech. Even the faith of the strongest believer will drain away quickly if it is not sustained by the power of God and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And let everyone who imagines that they are saved by their own faith beware. Because if it wasn't for the fact that God gave us faith and maintained that faith, we would quickly lose any faith that we had. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And here's the third point that I want you to remember from this little story, this little narrative. How blessed Abraham was to be in reality shielded by God, despite his unbelief. Abraham didn't believe that God was his shield and his exceeding great reward, at least not in this instance. And yet, God proved his faithfulness to Abraham. And while Abraham doubted and acted out his doubts, his lack of faith, God proved himself yet to be faithful to his little child. And that perhaps is the real message of this chapter, the real power in this account. God was faithful when Abraham was not. God stayed true when Abraham doubted. God proved dependable when Abraham brought shame on his testimony. Our salvation is all of grace. There is nothing commendable in us, nothing of merit, nothing of worth. Think of this. Sarah was now, or very soon would be, carrying that child of promise. That child that Abraham had so long sought for. Yet the man was seemingly unable to help himself or his wife in this situation. And that just speaks of our frailty and our weakness. But despite ourselves, thanks be to God for his providential care upon us. How many times, maybe I need to speak to the older people rather than the younger people about this, but here's a testimony. How many times have we let the Lord down, and yet he has still been faithful to us? Let me not criticize Abraham, but rather thank God for his goodness and declare publicly that there but for the grace of God go I. Out of Abraham's weakness came wealth and recognition for Abraham, and he was able to freely live at peace in the land at Abimelech's invitation, and he received much in the way of wealth from Abimelech. How many mistakes we make, but the Lord in love overrules them and in faithfulness blesses us nevertheless. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us.